Let's go vertical. We're in Waco Hall. No bugs outside. My team, they would talk about Fountain Mall. They'd say, you know, we don't really like the moist ground. And I was like, I really don't like the word moist. So we're glad to be in here. And honestly, it's really sweet because really until August 15th, our plan was to be in here. The first week of vertical. I know you're like, you wouldn't have known that. Our first Instagram post actually had Waco Hall on it, and then we archived that mess. And we went to Fountain Mall because Baylor had asked us to. And honestly, God taught me so much because I was so excited about Waco Hall and just like the favor of God and getting to be on campus and just getting to be here. And so to go on Fountain Mall in the heat of August and for God still to work was so sweet to me. And it just humbled the mess out of me, and I had to wrestle with it. And honestly, I think God used it to convict me of like celebrating the wrong things sometimes. Like I was celebrating a venue. It's like, God is so much bigger than a venue. You know what I mean? And so anyways, it's sweet. This is unplanned. So this means very little to you, but it's sweet to me. To finally be here and be here for 2 weeks and get to have D-Marv lead us here next week. He is the man, and you're not going to want to miss next week. And so if you brought your Bibles, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Paul's writing to the church in Galatia. He's trying to teach them how to live in freedom. Like that's one of the themes of the entire book. And this is what he says in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's stop right here. We're just going to get to our first point tonight, and it's a promise. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Period. It's a promise. There is victory if you walk by the Spirit. There is freedom if you walk by the Spirit. It's just 1 + 1 = 2. You will not sin if you are surrendered to the Spirit of God. This is a good promise. Why it's really meaningful to the church in Galatia is because they're trying to find freedom in other ways. They are trying to find freedom through works. Okay, this whole book really is about law and freedom, and Paul's just trying to wake them up. And he's saying, quit trying to live by the law. There were these false teachers who had come in and told them they had to get circumcised and all this stuff that you and I are like, what? And they're trying to find freedom through the law. And Paul is saying, hey, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So it's not that easy, right? Like walk by the Spirit and you'll never sin. No, like the Christian life, there's a little bit more to it than that. There is this war that's within us. Our flesh is at war with the Spirit. You see this battle within. It's like the Jekyll and Hyde. There is this tug of war. The flesh and the Spirit are opposed to one another. And what are they opposed? Like, how does it work? I love in verse 17, at the very end, it says this, that the Spirit is to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Like, this makes sense. If you're a Christian and you're here, you're like, yes, this makes sense. Like, I see sin. I see the things of the flesh, and I still want them, right? I'm like, that still looks good. If you've never been with us here at Vertical, like, we just shoot it straight. Like, sin looks sexy sometimes, all right? Like, it looks good. It looks appetizing. Why? Because we have a flesh. We have a sinful nature. Like, that's who we are. It was handed down to us from the beginning of Adam and Eve. It was handed down from generation to generation. And that, honestly, that's within us, and that's at war with the Spirit of God that's in us. And so these things oppose one another. Our flesh, our sinful nature, It often desires things. It wants things. It has an appetite for those things. It looks fun. And this is feels like heady, you know, when you listen to this and when you read this, you're like, this feels like, I don't know, like meta or something like that. But here's it in real life. How many of you enjoy working out? Y'all are crazy. Okay, put your hands down. I don't know if that's what I expected. Was that part of my notes and my plan here? No. I hate working out. You can ask my wife. She thought I was going to work out today. She made fun of me thinking that I didn't work out today. But you know what I did? I did. I went for a run. 2.1 miles. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. 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 That's actually exactly what I needed. Okay. But here's the reality. I hate working out. I do not want to work out. Right? Especially like, I'll just be honest. You know, you get engaged, you work out pretty hard. All right? LGN diet, I won't explain it, but you can figure it out later. Maybe one of your friends will tell you what it means. LGN. Anybody know? Are y'all serious? Look good naked. Thank you. Jack knows, look good naked, because Jack's engaged. All right? Jack is on it right now. That was amazing, Jack. Thank you. I can't believe y'all didn't know what that was. Y'all watch TikTok too much. Get out of the house and learn what LGN means, all right? What in the world? You get married and you don't work out again, all right? That's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to work out. I lost everyone. We're going to get kicked out of Waco Hall for look good naked. Holy smokes. I don't want to work out. But I know it's what's best for me, right? All you freaks that like working out, there was probably a time in your life where you didn't, right? And then you chose to work out instead of giving in to your flesh. You chose to work out, and then over time you're like, oh, dang, I kind of like the way this feels. I kind of like the way that it gives me energy, gives me strength. It's good for, you know, my mental capacity. It makes me less anxious. It helps me think clear. All these things, there's benefits to exercising, even when we don't want to, we choose to. And that's the same way the flesh and the spirit are at war within us, you know? But it's honestly, it's when we're in college, and even for me now, I'm only 28, and for most of us, if I was teaching this to a church, it'd be different. Like for all of us, most of our first thoughts are the flesh, okay? Like when you're 50 and you've been walking with Jesus for a while, then maybe you have more first thoughts that are of God and by the Spirit and for the Spirit, like all the good things. But like our first thoughts, like I remember being in college and somebody was like, what's God been teaching you? And I'm like, God's been teaching me that I should never do the first thing that I think to do. Like I remember saying that. I was like, I'm learning to do the opposite of the first thing that I think to do. So if it's say something, it's probably shut up, right? Like I was just like, why am I always doing the wrong thing? I'm leaving all these circumstances. I'm like, I'm not following God. I'm like trying to figure out how to follow Jesus. And I was realizing like my first thought was so often flesh. And honestly, that's the way this room probably is. And it's still, even for me, like I have to learn, it's probably not the first thought. Our first thought is often flesh. And so we see here the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, but also going back to verse 16, there's only one way to defeat the flesh. There's only one way, and it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone gives victory. The Holy Spirit alone gives freedom. The Holy Spirit alone, we cannot work our way to victory over our flesh. We cannot do it on our own. It's only the work of the Spirit of God. And so I want to illustrate this kind of tug of war with just like, who's the strongest dude in here? You know who you are. All right, come up. Whoever. Noah, come on. Noah, Little did we know, we're just doing a Train Waco ad over here. Here we go. Noah, we're going to get kicked out of Waco Hall, so might as well go big, right? You hold that end. All right. Noah is Spirit of God, all right? All right? I am flesh, all right? Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Like, it comes out of nowhere. You're at vertical, you're worshiping, and then all of a sudden you want to just make every conversation about yourself, right? That's the way the flesh works. He's just always trying to get, he's trying to get you to win, right? You know, you're just walking around the sub, minding your own business, and then all of a sudden, just like, you start checking out somebody that's walking by, right? Like, it's just this constant tug of war, you know? You just wake up, and out of nowhere, you look in the mirror, and you're thinking about body image. Oh, right? Like, you got me on that one, okay? All right, let's thank Noah. All right. The flesh is constantly approval, cheating to get good grades, pornography, social media porn that leads to porn, selfishness, needing attention so you create drama. As I said earlier, body image, or maybe you don't like God's timing, so you're just like gonna get into a relationship you shouldn't, flesh, compromise, worry. I'll just worry. That'll fix the problem. Come next week to your DMARV. Busyness. I'll just get busy. I'll just commit to more. I'll commit to more. That'll make me feel some significance. Her idols in sports. We worship sports. Maybe you worship video games. Excessive comfort. That's the way the flesh works. It's just this tug of war. We're constantly just trying to like, we're trying to just focus of like, how do I walk by the Spirit? There's so many distractions, including those little things going off on your phones, Amber Alerts. Is that what it is? Lord, we pray that whatever that is, that you would resolve that. You see, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit, and the first thing we see is that there is a promise. If we walk by the Spirit, which we'll learn about in a second, then we will walk in victory. We will walk in freedom. Second point, verse 19, there's going to be a what does walking by the Spirit produce? That's the second P, and this is where we are. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, as I mentioned, worshiping things, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. If you walk by the flesh, this is the product. That's it. If you walk by the flesh, this is the product. There's sex, there's religion, there's society, there's drink, and there's things like these. That's the last thing. It's like things like these. This isn't just everything. This is just a general description of probably what the church in Galatia was dealing with. That's the reality. And this all, honestly, like some of this kind of sounds like college, like sexual immorality, orgies, things like these, like parties, right? Impurity, all these things. But it gets weird when Paul says this, I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who do such things walk by the flesh and have product of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh are those things, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so here's the deal. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What that means practically is do such things. It means that if they continually practice and habitually sin, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me just pause. This sounds harsh, right? Like we sucked the air out of the room after that Amber Alert, right? Like, it's not funny anymore. Those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And honestly, It's continually practiced. That's what it's saying. It's habitually sin. And I would just want to show you something. And I don't know of any other way to say this, but if this is what you're doing now, then this is what could happen to you one day later. And what I really want to warn some of you of is, like, this is real. I'm living this. I'm seeing my friends do this 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later down the road from college. You see, when it comes to sexual immorality, 10 years down the line, when you're married, you have some kids, sexual immorality will not fly. It will lead to divorce. A few years down the line, you're going to be rich, right? Why? Because idolatry. Like, if you have an idol of money or success, and then you're going to get it. And you're going to think that that success is favor from God, and you're going to be divorced and rich. And your kids aren't really going to like you. They're going to be disconnected from you. Why? Because you're going to be divisive. And you're always going to be right. And you're never going to be wrong. And you're going to wonder, like, what happened? And at that point, when you're 50 and divorced and your kids, like, kind of like you because you have money, but you're rich and you're looking for life, like, at that point, you won't be thinking, I can have both. You're going to have left. And probably you will have never initially believed, but some of you think college is about, like, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to have a little bit of fun too. But you will not habitually practice sin. If you are a believer, you will not inherit the kingdom. And honestly, I'm thankful for this warning. I know it's harsh, but I've seen it now. Like, when I was in your shoes, I've been like, this is harsh. This guy's being a judge, you know, jerk, right? And now I'm like, no, man, I just wish I could just shake you and be like, man, I promise you, if it doesn't stop now, I can tell you where it leads. I've now seen it. Verse 22, that's the fruit of the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, let's go. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And the world's saying, that's lame. That's lame, man. Christianity's stupid. As everyone's anxious out of their minds, depressed as all get out. And the third thing is peace, a fruit of the Spirit. And we're over here. We look at this and we're like, I kind of like the world a little bit more. No, the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to listen to them again, because so many of us, we blast through them, and I'm part of the problem because there's so many of them. I want you to listen to these. And I want you to think, like, this is what we have when we walk by the Spirit of God. And maybe even think, God, where am I lacking in these things? I'm going to read it slowly, all right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The last three are always some of the most challenging for me. Faithfulness. Am I reliable? Do I do what I said I was going to do? Gentleness. I'm very quick to anger. I'm not humble. And I'm not meek. Like, gentleness is so hard for me sometimes. And self-control. Am I under control? These are ways I can grow. Think about which of these you may be lacking. And this is so important, that the fruit of the Spirit leads to this amazing combination of things. And honestly, I believe we get all of them. I don't think they're fruits. There's one fruit. And it's all these things. It's a combination of all of these things. God working in our lives and giving us these things. And it's so important because the world's meant to know us by our fruit, right? Like, this is what makes Christians different. Like, this passage is black and white. There's the works of the flesh and there's the fruit of the Spirit. And they do not overlap at all. Like, this is what separates Christians. It's a beautiful thing. The crazy thing, though, is that it's like you will reap what you sow. It's very simple. Galatians 6:8, just down the way, says this: for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Like, walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the flesh, you'll get the works of the flesh. You'll reap what you sow. So simple. So we see, first, there's a promise with the Spirit. Second, that it produces something. It produces in us the fruit of the Spirit. And the last thing is, how do we practice this? Like, what does this really look like to practice walking by the Spirit? And this is verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so let's just stop right here and think about, what does this look like in practice? How do we apply this? First, it says we've crucified the flesh. Like, how do we do that? It says earlier, verse 16, walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? Sounds like some Christianese to me. Well, how do we walk, step, be led by the Spirit? Here it is, in practice. If you need the P, I know. That's the third P. That's the third point, practice. How do we put this to practice? First, 5:18, led by. Galatians 5:18 talks about we're led by the Spirit. It's this passive thing. We give up control. I don't even need to go into details of how many of us are control freaks, right? Like, I don't even need to go into detail. I just need to say, we must surrender to the Spirit of God. That's the first way that we put into practice walking by the Spirit. We surrender to the Spirit of God. Some of y'all need to write that down. Surrender to the Spirit of God. It's passive. And then there's walk by the Spirit, or keep in step with the Spirit. Verse 18 and 25, that's an active. It's taking a step. It's acting on what you know is true. It's acting on what the Spirit has said. Hey, this is right or this is wrong. This is right and this is left. And if the Spirit hasn't given you anything, you just walk by what you believe is faithfulness to God. You walk. You go about your day. And you listen to the Spirit. You stay in step with the Spirit. So first, you surrender, and second, you step. You step out in faith. If you get the nudge to go left or right, to talk to that person, talk to them, care for them, encourage them, text that person out of the blue, that's stepping in faith. You're keeping in step with the Spirit of God. And honestly, one of the best ways I can think about this is in what I look at each and every day. I live on a farm. I know it doesn't look like it. I'm wearing Nikes and Lulus, but I live on a farm, and we live in a back house. it's not our farm. Anyways, so I haven't ridden a horse in a long time, but I look at horses every day. I drive past them and a mini horse. It's pretty lit, I'm not gonna lie. And I'm like, how did they do that? Anyways, and what they do is they put this over the horse, and I'm no horse, but it goes like this, right? Like that. You know what this is called? A bridle, a bit and a bridle, right? I think this is how it goes. I haven't ridden a horse in years. Anyways, this goes around the horse, around the horse's head, and the rider rides it, which is crazy. I know, this looks stupid. I should have brought a horse. Anyways, here's the deal. The horse has to surrender to the master. The horse is pretty powerful. You ever seen one, been next to them? You're like, whoa, these things are strong. right? But they surrender. They go left and right. They're led. And honestly, a good horse doesn't even need direction all the time. A good horse, like, you just set the reins on their back. If you're going in the right direction, it's just like, yeah, you just leave it on the back. And if he needs to give you a nudge left, right, you go, oh yeah, left, right, this way. And honestly, like, it's so silly, but like, this is what I think of when I think of being led by the Spirit of God. Like, I'm not in control. I give up control. I surrender control. And that's the bit. I put it on and I listen. I'm directed by something else that's not me. Even though I'm a horse in this illustration, right? But here's the crazy thing though. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, this is a great picture of being led and walking in step and all these things about walking by the Spirit. But I thought to myself, like, really, really strong horses are really hard to break. Like, really, really strong horses are hard to get them to listen to a master, to obey a master. You know this, right? Or you've read about it, like on Little House on the Prairie, right? Like, that's the way it works. And so I actually think there's a warning in this silly illustration, like, and the warning is simple. It's like, if you are crazy gifted and you've gotten far in your gifts, your social gifts, your physical gifts, your economic gifts, your intellectual gifts. Like, if you've gotten so far on those gifts in your own independence, it may be challenging to be dependent on God. Like, if you've gotten this far because of all your talents and all of your skills and all of your giftings, and that's what got you to college, and that's what got you friends, and that's what got you followers, then it may be hard for you and I to go, I'm gonna surrender to God. I'm gonna surrender to something else. I'm gonna surrender to another master. The stronger the horse sometimes, the harder it is to break. And so my friends, like, I just wanna warn you, like, you're in college. You're the cream of the crop. And so beware of those things that are gonna make you think that you know better. Make you think that you should be in control. I'm telling you, when we learn how to walk by the Spirit, this is how we change the world. First, through surrender. This is how God's going to use us to love others. This is how God's going to use us to love our neighbors. This is how God's going to use us to reach the nations. It starts by surrendering and learning how to walk by the Spirit. What does this look like? Practically, constant prayer, asking the Lord for direction. Lord, is there anyone you want me to talk to as I'm walking through the dining hall? Is there anyone I should invite to sit with our friends as I'm going about my day? Is there anyone I sit next to in class that I should talk to? The answer is yes. You should know their name, even though it's way past halfway through the semester. And the secret weapons of walking by the Spirit, I'm just gonna give you my own personal, I feel like they're secret weapons. Praying on your knees is one of the best ways to surrender. So get on your knees every night and every morning. Getting on your knees, that's a really, really good way to surrender. Fasting, that'll wake you up. That'll make you dependent on God real quick. You pray every time you're hungry. That's what fasting is. You learn dependence. And then lastly, I think worship. I think there's something beautiful about worship. And I think sometimes we think that's like a girly thing. I'm like, what? Worship for me, it puts wind in my sails so often. So often if I have a hard heart, it'll make my heart flesh so quickly. It'll put myself in a place of surrender so quickly. And I honestly think some of those are some secret weapons. So let's walk by the Spirit. Let's have the fruit of the Spirit. And let's change the world in and through this. And what I want to finish with is very simple. It's actually advice that somebody gave my wife and I during engagement. He said, you want to know the key to marriage? This is free marriage advice as well for those of you that wanted it tonight. They gave us this in premarital. They said, you want to know how to make it. 100% chance if you do this, you will make it. What do you think? What do you think came to my mind? Just name a few things. Like, what are the things that if you do, you will make it? Any ideas? Yeah. Communication. Place God at the center of the relationship. Yeah. What else? What's 100% chance you're going to make it? You do this, you're going to make it in marriage. Any other ideas? Those are good ideas. I mean, y'all are whispering to each other. Just yell it out. LGN diet. There we go. Healthy boundaries. I love it. I love it. You'll make it if you look good naked. That's not true. But anyways, here's the key to it all. Don't give up. That's how you make it. That's it. Galatians 6:9, just after Paul says this, says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And honestly, I was with a student just before vertical, and she was telling me about how hard her week was, how hard her day was, some anxiety. It was overwhelming, catching up on school stuff, all these different things. And in my notes, all I have is, I just want to give you a hug. And she was telling me like what she was going through. And I was like, that's kind of what I felt like y'all need. I know you might not want a hug from me, but like, I'm just saying, like, I just want to give all of you a hug and be like, don't give up. There is a reason why you're here in Waco. There is a reason why God brought you here. It is okay that you are overwhelmed. It is okay that things don't feel good and don't feel right. You're empty and discouraged, and you're losing heart, and you want to quit, and you're growing faint. And can I just tell you, I expected to come back from the pandemic and feel different than I do today. I am living the absolute dream. I get to work with y'all. I get to work in a football stadium on weekends. I'm married to the most amazing woman in the world, and our marriage is great. And I still feel off. And I don't know why. And all I can hear is the whisper of God just saying, don't give up. Endure. I'm like, endure what? My circumstances aren't even bad. Like, nothing bad has happened. I do not even understand. And all I'm saying is, I think some of you need to hear that as well. Don't give up. Keep being faithful. Keep following Jesus. I'd give you a hug if I could give all of you a hug. And honestly, this all comes from God's love for us. Like, he cares deeply about us. He cares so much about us that he would send his Spirit, who wants to relate with us. He wants to be with us. He will not leave us alone. Like, he has given us the Spirit of God for that reason. And so all of this, like, do not give up. Endure, my friends. And I want to end with something kind of weird. And here it is. Like, if that resonates with you, you're discouraged or anxious or overwhelmed or empty or just in a funk, or you actually have terrible circumstances and you're drowning and whatever it is, like, I don't care where you land on that spectrum. If you are like, man, I need to endure, I need help, would you just raise your hand? Do you mind just saying, hey, like, man, this has been a hard season. Okay, thank y'all. Okay, now here's what we're gonna do. Leave your hand up. It's okay, not a big deal. Here's what we're gonna do. Every one of us, I want us to just lay hands on somebody that has their hand up right now, which there's plenty of people around. You don't need to move too much. I know, Lord, keep COVID away. Sincerely. Here's the deal. All right. Let me pray over us. God, would you help us? We're humbly raising our hands and going, sometimes this feels hard. Sometimes this feels overwhelming. Sometimes this feels like I'm on empty. Sometimes I don't know how to move forward. There's only so many weeks left in the semester, and I don't know if I can finish. I don't know if I can finish. I want to quit school. I want to quit friends. I want to quit all these things. And so, Lord, we just come to you humbly, and we ask that you would help us. Very simply, would you give us strength? One of the beautiful things of walking by the Spirit is that we get the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead would be in us if we were walking by the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us power. You would give my friends power. My friends that raised their hand, I pray as that they would experience your power and your love and your grace. Would you overwhelm them? Jesus, your word and you yourself say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest. And so I pray rest over these students. I pray for just a deep, deep rest, a deep, deep peace over these students. As they look to the final stretch of the semester, would you just bless them with peace and grace and mercy and the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit? That no matter what's going on in their lives, that they would be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Lord, I thank you for their willingness and their humility to raise their hand and say, man, I need help. I don't want to give up. Lord, I pray that you would bless that humility in them. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have empowered us through the Spirit. Would you help us? We pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.